Today's shiur is Masechta Sota Daf Tezayin, and we will begin on Daf Tez Vav Amud Beis, about 10 lines from the bottom. The Mishnah continued teaching us in the process of how the kohen goes about giving the Sota the water to drink. The Mishnah says, Nichnas Lehechol, he entered to Hechol upon El Yaminai, and he turned to the right. Asked the Gemara, my Tama, why did he turn to the right? Dama Mar, because we have learned, Kol Panish at the Pina, whenever one has to turn, he should preferably turn to the right. Kol Panish at the Pina, whenever one has to take a turn, Loye El Yamin, he should turn to the right side. As the Gemara in Masechta Yuma explains, that the Pasuk describes the pool that Shlomo HaMelech had erected in the Beis HaMikdash, and it was placed on top of 12 animals, sculptures of 12 animals. And if we follow the order in which the 12 animals are described, the order goes as we turn from right to left. From here we see that we should always turn to right. And that is actually the halacha. And that is why the halacha is that if somebody, for example, is going to get an aliyah in shul and he has to go up to the bima, he should go from the right side. Although the Paiskim do indicate that if the person is sitting in a place where it's easier to get to the bima, it's quicker to get to the bima by going from the left side, he should go preferably from the left side than rather than the right side. For a person should always go the route that's shorter. Only when it's equidistant do we go from the right side. And in fact, the Mefarshim explained that's the wording of our Gemara. The Gemara says, Kopinosh at the point of Loyehei El Daruch Yamin. Why doesn't the Gemara just say, Tamid Tefnel Yamin? Always turn to the right. Because the Gemara is teaching us that it really depends on the situation. Sometimes we actually go from the left side. The Chasam Sofer, in fact, says that when one is constructing a Beis HaKnesses, a Beis HaMedrash, he should build it in a way that if one has to make a turn as he enters the Beis HaKnesses or Beis HaMedrash, he should make a right turn. And in fact, this Gemara is the basis for a machloikis, what we do when it comes to light Chanukah candles on Chanukah. We know that in every night of Chanukah, we add another candle. And the Machlokes HaPoskim is on the second night and on that we're going to be lighting two candles or more. Which is the first candle to light? Is it the second, third, fourth, depending on the night, that candle should be lit, or should be the first candle? We, the Shulchan Aruch, and that's our minhag, says we should light the new candle and then continue moving towards the right side. The reason being, as our Gemara just said, Kol Pinoy Shatapina Lo Yehei Ela Derech Yamin, going towards the right side, and therefore light the new candle, which is the most to the left, and then move towards the right. The Levush, however, disagrees, and he says, yes, we should use the concept of Kol Pinoy Shatapina Lo Yehei Ela Derech Yamin to guide us which is the new candle to be lit. But he says that text tells you to write the most right candle, because, and that's the first candle on the menorah, even though it's the same candle that's being lit every night. Because Kol Pinoy Shatapina Lo Yehei Ela Derech Yamin, explains the Levush, means we always start by the right. And in fact, he brings a proof to his opinion. We know that Hebrew is always written right to left. We start by the right and we move all the way to the left. And we know that Sefer Torah, which certainly is a mitzvah to be written, the last mitzvah of our Torah, in fact, that the Kisul Chemes, the Shira Zois, is written from right to left. So he uses that as a proof that that should be the first candle lit. How do we answer to the Levush? So that we don't follow that minog. The Levush, the Al-Yurab explains, that when we look at each letter of the Alabes as a cipher writes it, the letters themselves are written from left to right. A sofer who writes an aleph begins on the left side towards the right. So even when we're looking at each letter, it's always from towards the right, as we light the Chanukah lecht from left to right. The Chasam Sofer has a different explanation. He says the Levushas proof is from a Sefer Torah. He says, but the proof from the Sefer Torah is not really a conclusive proof, because the Halacha L'Moshe Mitzrayim teaches us that a Sefer Torah should be ended with the last line being a half a line. The first half of the line should be written, and the second half of the line should be left blank. So we see that we only write, and only then is the Sefer Torah considered written completely. So we see that we always write on the right side of the line, again proving that the right, we don't look at the each letter or the way we write from right to left, but we always, because we want to keep the last line half written on the right side, because the right side is more important. So we learned in the Mishnah, Makom Hayasham, there was a place on the floor of the Azara. There was an Amon Amah Big, which had a marble slab over it, from which they would lift it to take out earth that we would use for the Soita. Tana Rabbanan, Umen Ofra Shiyiyah, Yochel Yisakim Evachutz V'yachnas. One could think that he could prepare the earth outside the Beis HaMikdash and bring that earth in to be used for the Soita. Tamaloymer Bekarka HaMishkon. The earth has to be on the floor of the Mishkan. Ibekarka Mishkan. If I follow that pasuk, I would think Yochel Yachma Bekadumais. I should specifically use a shovel to obtain that earth. Tamaloymer Ashiyya. The earth that's on top, one doesn't have to dig for that earth. Haketzad. How do we understand this? Yesham. If there's already earth there, have they, take it. Ensham, if there isn't earth available, you should tensham, put earth from the outside on the floor, and then take that earth and use it for the soita process. It's interesting to note that the Aruch Chaim explains that all of the ingredients that we use for the soita process represent the opposite of the actions of a soita. We know that we use mayim. The mayim that we use was from the mei kiyor, that the mei kiyor was made out of copper, which was made out of the mirrors that the women used in Mitzrayim to make themselves attractive to their husbands, that they should have relations with them, as we learned earlier in Amasachta. Water, continues Dor HaChaim to explain, represents something that wants to be close to God. Because Dor HaChaim quotes the Gemara that at the beginning, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, he separated the Mayim El Yoinim from the Mayim Tachtoinim, the water that remained in Shamayim, in the heaven, from the water that's on this earth. And the Mayim Tachtoinim, the water that was on this world, came with a complaint. Be'ina laheva kame malka. We want to remain next to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Again, water representing something that wants to be close to Hashem. The offer that we're describing has to be offer, as we're going to learn, as we're learning and we'll continue learning in our sugya, that is in the Beis HaMikdash. It's offer that has to be on the top level of the floor, closer to the Kedusha. All of these ingredients that we're using for the Soita process are ingredients that are close to Kedusha. This woman, the Soita, who acted in the opposite way, she distanced herself from Kedusha. So we take ingredients and show her the proper way a Jewish woman should act is with ingredients that are close to Kedusha. Tanya, but there's another braisa that explains. He prepared earth outside the Beis HaMikdash and brought it in. Bekarka HaMishkan. So what do we do with the words of the Pasuk of Bekarka HaMishkan? Lahavi, it comes to teach us, Karka of Shiloi, Noiv, the Givoin, or Beis Elamim. And there's a machlokes rishonim how to understand this Gemara. Rashi explains that the only word in this Gemara that we're using is Beis Elamim. One would think that only in the Mishkan was there a halacha that we had this site to process, but not in the Beis HaMikdash. The Mishkan is different to Beis HaMikdash. That's why we need the pasuk to teach us Bekarka Mishkan, that even by the Beis HaMikdash is there a halacha of this soita process. But according to Rashi, Shiloi, Noiv, and Givoin are to be omitted from the Gemara. Why? Shiloi, Rashi says, was a Mishkan like the Mishkan we had in the Midbar. And therefore, it's obvious that the soita procedure took place in Shiloi, and there is no need for a pasuk to teach us that. Noiv and Givoin, on the other hand, according to Rashi, the soita process actually did not take place in, because Noiv and Givoin did not have all of the characteristics of the Mishkan. For as Rashi explains, and Tosfos explains, Noiv and Givoin did not have the Aron, did not have the entire same look as the Mishkan and the Beis HaMikdash, and they were rather only considered areas that were considered a bama. The halach is a place that's a bama, that doesn't have the din of a Mikdash, there is no din of Saita. Tosfos disagrees. Tosfos says we do need to explain that Shiloi is included, because Tosfos explains that Shiloi, unlike the Mishkan, which didn't have a permanent structure, the walls of Shiloi were made out of stone, and therefore they were of a permanent structure, and since they were of a permanent structure, they have to be kept. Since they were made with a permanent structure, we have to learn that they have the same din of the Mishkan. And Noiv Givoin, even though they didn't have everything that the Mishkan had, they didn't have the Aron, still, since they were communal places for Kabonois, are considered, according to those Rishonim, places where the Soita procedure took place. I saw that a Shaila was asked to Reb Chaim Kanievsky in the Sefer Derech Sicha. Our Gemara says that the place that it's certainly obvious that there was Soita procedure is in the Mishkan. So he was asked, we know that the Gemara says that the man that fell in the Midbar every day was the proof Moshe Rabbeinu in the Dinei Torah that he had used it very often as proof what the status was. For example, if there was a question if someone owned a slave, Moshe Rabbeinu would say, Dinei Labayka Mishpat, let's wait till the morning and we'll see if there's two people, Reuven and Shimon, arguing who owns a specific slave. Everybody got mon enough for the members of their household. So we see who got the portion of mon for that slave. So Reb Chaim Kanievsky was asked, if a woman we know has an adulterous relationship, she may no longer remain with her husband. So if we have a question, if a woman is a soita, if she had such a relationship, or she didn't have such a relationship, why didn't we just wait till the morning and say if mon fell for her in her husband's home? If it fell, obviously she didn't have an adulterous relationship, and she could remain with her husband. If it didn't fall, it's because she's not allowed to remain with her husband. So answered Reb Chaim that there is a rule that we many times have said, Loi b'shamayim hi, the Torah after was given is not left in Shemayim, and included in that concept, he says, of Loi b'shamayim is to use the ways the Torah tells us to use how to evaluate situations. If the Torah told us to use the Mesoita to evaluate the situation, that's the method to be used, no other method. Isa b'menachem Aymer, Isa ben Menachem, however, says there is no need to tell us that the Soita procedure took place in the Beis HaMikdash. Or Mabit Tumakala, if it comes to the halacha that somebody who's Tomei may not enter the Beis HaMikdash or the Mishkan, Lechilek HaKasa, the Torah doesn't differentiate between the Beis HaMikdash and the Mishkan, and it's considered a Tumakala because there's only a Chiyiv Kares if one enters the Mishkan and the Beis HaMikdash in such a manner. But Thomas Eish Chamura, which is a lot more stringent. There's a chiyuv mises bezdin by eishes ish. Like kolshkein, that we should not differentiate between the Beis HaMikdash and the Mishkan. Imkein, if so, ma tamid loymar bekarka Mishkan. So why do I need a pasuk to say, what does the pasuk of karka Mishkan come to teach us? To teach us, shlo yovi mitoch kuposoi, he shouldn't bring from a box, from outside the Beis HaMikdash, but he must take the earth that's going to be used for the site procedure from the floor of the Beis HaMikdash. Ibailuhu, ask the Gemara, ain't sham offer, if there is no earth available, ma shi'itin afer, can you use ash instead? And as the Mefarshim explain, there's no earth available in all of Yerushalayim. Mefarshim explain, based on the previous Gemara, everybody agrees that certainly lechatchila we should use earth that's on the floor of the Azara. Here, there was no loose earth available on the floor of the Azara. But ashes, there were plenty ashes available on the floor of the Azara from all the kabbonis that were brought on the Mizbeach. And the Gemara's question is, what is better to use? Should we use ashes that are available on the floor of the Azara, or should we preferably use earth from outside the Azara? Aliva the Beis Shammai, says the Gemara, according to Beis Shammai, loy to bayalach. This is not a question. The Amri Lomitzinu Eifer Shikari offer. We don't find anywhere in Halacha that ashes could be substituted for earth. Kiti bayalach. The question is Aliva the Beis Hillel. The Amri Mitzinu Eifer Shikari offer. We do find that ashes could be substituted for earth. Where? The Halacha is that when one shechts a chayo, or a bird, he has to do kisui hadam, he has to cover the blood, and the halacha according to Beis Hillel is that if he doesn't use earth, he can use ashes. Afagav dikri offer, even though we find that in the halacha of kisui hadam, efer is called offer, what about by soita? Hocha bekarka mishkan ksif, since the Torah uses the words bekarka mishkan, it has to be strictly earth. Adam hay bekarka mishkan. What the pasuk of bekarka mishkan comes to teach us is lechadisi ben Yehuda or lechadisi ben Menachem Adasi, to teach us that the halacha of soita applies in the Beis HaMikdash, or to teach us that one should not bring earth from outside the Beis HaMikdash to use inside the Beis HaMikdash. But perhaps afer, ashes, may be used. Tashma, Damar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shmo. In the three places do we find that halacha akeves mikra, that halacha Moshe Sinai teaches us contrary to what it says in the pasuk. Hatayra amr bech offer, the Torah says to use earth for kisui hadam. V'halacha that halacha Moshe Sinai teaches us bechol dover, that any material, afer, other materials can be used for kisui hadam. Hatayra amr betar, the Torah says that a nazir may not shave himself with a razor, but the halacha Moshe Mitzrayim tells us bechol dover, he's not allowed to use any implement to shave himself. Hatayra amr sefer, the Torah says that a get should be written on parchment, and the halacha is bechol dover, a get can be written on any material. So vim isa, if it's correct that ash can be used in the place of offer by the soita, l'chshinamiha, it should be also mentioned. As Rashi, we can understand when the Braisa says that the Torah says that offer should be used for kisui hadam, and the halacha l'Moshe Mitzrayim tells us you don't have to use offer, you could use any material. The Torah says write a get specifically on parchment, and the halacha l'Moshe Mitzrayim says you could write the get on any material. But if the Torah tells, that's considered that the halacha l'Moshe Mitzrayim is contrary to what it says in the pasuk. But asks Rashi, if the Torah says that a nazir is not allowed to shave himself with a razor, and the halacha l'Moshe Mitzrayim says that it's not just a razor that he's not allowed to use, but he's not allowed to even use any other implement, why is that considered a contradiction to what it says in the Torah. So answers Rashi, it is considered a contradiction, because the halacha is that if a nazir shaves b'mezid, the halacha is that he's chayiv malchus. Hitting a Jew is certainly also. And here the halacha l'moshe m'sinai is teaching us that we're going to be allowed to give malchus to a Jew, even though that's not what the Torah, the simple pshat of the Torah, teaches us. The Mefarshim Tosfos asks a question. It's obvious that Rabbi Shmuel does not follow the opinion of Beis Hillel, because according to Beis Hillel, the pasuk teaches us that we're allowed to use Afer instead of Ofer, and Rabbi Shmuel says it's a halacha l'moshe m'sinai. So obviously he doesn't follow the opinion of Beis Hillel. And our Gemara, as it began this sugya, says that the question is only according to Beis Hillel, not according to Beis Shammai. So the Mashal answers that Rabbi Shmuel will hold that the basis why Beis Hillel says that Afer can be used for Kisui Adam is indeed a halacha l'moshe m'sinai, not a pasuk. And therefore, Rabbi Shmuel is very much consistent with the opinion of Beis Hillel, and therefore the Gemara's question, Rabbi Shmuel, can be used as a way to answer the Gemara's question, can Afer be used for the Saita? Another answer given by the Sfasemis is that, yes, Rabbi Shmuel arrives at the conclusion that Afer can be used for Kisui Hadam differently than the way Beis Hillel arrives to the conclusion. Beis Hillel says that we learn it from the Pasuk. Rabbi Shmuel says we learn it from Halacha L'moshe m'sinai. But at the end of the day, they follow the same opinion, that Afer can be used for Kisui Hadam. And now the Gemara's question is, can it also be used by the Saita? So the Gemara is trying to prove from the fact that the Braisa did not mention this case that it cannot be used for a Saita. Answers the Gemara, Tana v'shaya. This is not a proof, because the Tana did not bring down all of the cases it could have brought down. And in Saita, the halacha perhaps is that Afer may be used. The Braisa just didn't mention it, it left it out. Ask the Gemara, my Shai, the High Shire. As we know throughout Shas, whenever the Gemara says ton of a Shire, we have to have more than one exception. As the Rishonim explain, if there's only one exception, it's hard to understand why it was left out. Only if there are numerous exceptions, more than one exception, so we say that the Tana did not go through the bother of mentioning all the exceptions. Or my Shire, the High Shire, says the Gemara, Shire Metzaira. It left over the halacha of Metzaira. We know that as a Metzaira becomes Tahar, he's no longer Metzaira, he has to go through a purification process, which takes 7 days. On the first day of the purification process, he has to shave all of the hair of his body. The Tanya, and then on the seventh day, again he has to shave his hair. The Pasuk says, V'hoye b'yoyim ha'shvi, yigalachas kol sa'aray. The Pasuk says he should shave all his hair, klal. The Torah has made a general rule. Then the Torah goes on to say, it's roishoy, the hair on his head, zikno his beard, v'skaba his ein of his eyebrows, prat, that's a specification. Then the Torah continues and says, v'es kol sa'aray galayach, Chaz of a klal, again a general pasuk has been mentioned. So we have a rule that wherever we have a klal or prat or klal, he had to don el ka'en a prat, ma prat mefurish. The prat comes to define the halacha. And what are the characteristics of all of the hairs mentioned in the prat? Mokum kinasar, it's a place where the hair is gathered together, venira, and it's visible. Afkom mokum kinasar venira. The only hair that has to be cut, a hair that's gathered together, invisible. Ma Rabbi, which comes to include ribisirah glayim, the pubic hair, the hair in the private parts, is gathered together and visible. My miyat, and what does it come to exclude? Miyat the base of sachi, or the kulei gufei, the hair in the armpits, which is not visible, and the hair on the other parts of the body, which although are visible, are not gathered together. So the pasuk is teaching us that only hair which is visible and gathered together must be shaved on the seventh day of the Metzoyer's purification process days. However, the Hilchoso, the Halacha Moshe Mesinai, teaches us the Megaleach Kedalas. He takes a complete shave, shaving all of the hair of his body. The Tanan, as the Mishnah says in Masechta Nagon, Ba'ala Lahakif Es Metzoyer, on the first day of the Metzoyer's purification days, Mavitar Akol Besoroi, he has to shave with a razor all of the hair on his body. V'ktani Sefer, and the Mishnah continues teaching us, Obiyoy Mashvi, on the seventh day, Megalcha Taglachas Shniya, again he has to undergo a complete shave, Kitaglachas Rishayna, similar to the first shave. So here we have a situation where the Torah, through a klal prat, klal teaches us that you only have to shave hair that's gathered together and visible. And the Halacha Moshe Mesinai overrides what the Torah tells us and tells us to shave all of the hair on the body. So this is an example, another example of our Halacha Moshe Mesinai overriding a pasuk. So we found another exception that wasn't mentioned in the Braisa. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Nachman ben Yitzchak, this cannot be considered an exception that was omitted from the Braisa. Because Kika Choshev Halacha covers Mikra, what situations were mentioned, situations where the Halacha overrides what it says in the Pasuk, something which is explicit in the Pasuk. Ha, a kevis m'drabonin hi. This, that the Halacha is that we only shave hair that's gathered together and visible, is only drabonin, it's not an explicit Pasuk. And this Gemara is the basis of a machloikis rishonim between the Rambam and the Ramban. The Rambam says, from here we see that something that we only learn from a drasha is considered a drabonim, even though it's a klal prat a klal. We know a klal prat a klal is one of the shloish tesrei midos shatoyra the dreshes behen. Still, it's only considered a drabonim. The Ramban disagrees. The Ramban says certainly something that's learned through a klal prat a klal has the full consequence of something that's considered a doraisa. And he explains the way to understand the Gemara is that the girsa should not be midrabanon, but medrashi. The Braisa is giving us examples where the Halacha Moshe Mesinai overrides an explicit pasuk. Here it doesn't override an explicit pasuk, rather it overrides something that we only learned from a drasha. The Gra says that in fact the difficulty that we are mentioning, that how can we say that something that we learn from a drasha is only considered the Rabbanon, is the reason why we're going to have different answers in the Gemara. That the Gemara is not satisfied with this answer, because how could we say that something that's learned from a drasha is only considered midrabanan? And therefore, Rapap Amma, Kika Choshev Halacha Ekeves Vaikeres. All the cases that we mentioned were cases where the Torah, the Halacha Moshe Mesinai, was contrary to what it says in the Pasuk. Here we have a situation, Ha Ekeves Omesefesi. Here it only is adding. Where the Torah said, only shave hair that's gathered together and visible. And the Halacha Moshe Mesinai expands and says, shave all hair. That's not considered the cases that we're referring to in the Braisa. Rav Ashi says, Hamas Nisamani, who is the Tana of this Braisa? Rav Shmolhi, the Dorish Klali Aprati, who expounds the Pesukim of the Torah in the Klal Aprat or Klal fashion. But the last mani, who was the Tana of the Mishnah, Rabbi Kivihi, the Dorish Yubi Meyute. And as the Rishonim explained, and this is based on how Rashi explains this in Masechta Sukkah and Daf Nun. Many times we have in the Torah Pesukim that first we have a general Pasuk, then the Torah speaks specifics, and then the Torah again mentions a general Pasuk. There's a fundamental machloikis tanoim. The tanoim are Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Kiva, who actually learnt this from their rabbeim, Rabbi Shmuel from his rabbi, Rabbi Nechunya ben Akona, and Rabbi Kiva from his rabbi, Nochem Ishkamzu, how to view such psukim. Rabbi Shmuel views these psukim in the klal uprat uklal fashion. And since he looks at it as a klal uprat uklal, what does a klal uprat uklal teach us? That the prat defines the klal. The prat teaches us how to understand the klal. And therefore, in this case, the prat defines that only hair that's gathered and visible must be shaved on the seventh day of the Metzora's purification process. And indeed, according to Rabbi Shmuel, he will not agree with the Mishnah that we quoted from Masechet Nagoim. And according to Rabbi Shmuel, he will not have, on the seventh day, have to shave all of the hair on his body. Rabbi Kiva has a different view of these types of psukim. Rabbi Kiva looks at these psukim in the ribui miut ribui form. A ribui miut, the miut doesn't define the ribui. The miut just tells us there are exceptions to the rule. And then the ribui that follows the miut tells us even to limit those exceptions. Therefore, if we follow the ribui miut ribui fashion of learning, we don't have here a situation that the Torah specifically is teaching us that only here that's visible and gathered together should be shaved on the seventh day. The Torah never told us that. And therefore, when we learn that all of the hair should be shaved, it's certainly not contrary to what the Torah says. The Tanya, as the Brisa says, according to the way Rabbi Kiva is going to learn that pasuk, V'hoi b'yoy m'shvi yigalos kol s'oroi, ribui. It's a pasuk that's a ribui. Then the pasuk says, as roshev v'zakonoi v'skabos enov, is a miut. And then we have again, v'skos orav yigaleach, is chosv riba. When we have a situation of riut miut ribu, riba kol, it comes to say that all hair should be shaved. My ribi, riba de kule gufay, all hair on the body should be shaved, which is exactly what the Mishnah Masechet in the Gom, which represents the opinion of Rabbi Kiva, says. On my miut, we do have a pasuk that is a miut. What is that pasuk going to teach us? Miut ser shvetoch achoitim. Rabbi Kiva will agree that the hair in the nose does not have to be shaved. But only that hair doesn't have to be shaved. All other hair does have to be shaved. So, the Braisa represents the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel, and the Mishnah represents the opinion of Rabbi Kiva. Ask the Mishnah Melech. Why didn't the Gemara doesn't have, has not successfully found another exception to the rule where the Halach L'Moshe M'Sinai overrides the Pasuk. Asks the Mishnah L'Melech, we know that the Torah many times teaches us that we have to eat. The Halach is Be'erev Toich L'Matzis. We have to eat Pesach Matzis. Achila means Halach that you have to eat any amount that you eat. Eichel, it's considered eating. So yet the Halach L'Moshe M'Sinai teaches us that you have to eat a kazayis. So isn't this a situation that the halacha overrides the pasuk? So I saw a number of answers to this question. One answer is that it's not really that way, because the halacha is that chotzi shir is osim in a Torah. That if one eats less than the full shir of something that's osir, he did the avera. He may not get the punishment. So we see that the halacha l'moshe m'Sinai doesn't say that eating is only a kazayis. It only gives us a shear. But eating, the pasuk remains as the pasuk says. Another answer is almost just the opposite. All the cases that we just mentioned are specific situations where the halacha overrides the pasuk. But the halacha l'moshe m'Sinai, that achila is always a kazayis, is not limited to Pesach. It's in every situation where the Torah uses the word achila, the Halach L'Moshe M'Sinai isn't coming to override what the pasuk says. Rather, it's coming to define that when the Torah uses the word achila, this is the way Chassam Sofer explains, achila means a kazayis. So it's not a situation of overriding. It's a situation of defining. That doesn't fall into this braisa, which speaks about situations where Halach L'Moshe M'Sinai overrides
the pasuk. My havala. So what is the halacha l'maisa? Can Afer be used by the site or not? So ask Taisvis, what's the Gemara's question? We brought a braisa. We tried to say ton of a shire. We were unsuccessful in saying ton of a shire. So obviously, the halacha is that Afer cannot be used. Says Taisvis, since it wasn't really clear if what the halacha is mitzayra, does Rabbi Shmuel certainly disagree with the Mishnah, or doesn't he disagree with the Mishnah? So there's some ambiguity here. So the Gemara wants to know what is the halacha. Tashma, Damar Afuna Bar Ashi Amarav, Ein Sham Offer. If there is no earth, Mevi Rekvuvis Yerek, he should bring a decayed vegetable or Makadish and use it for the Saita. So we see that just like a decayed vegetable can be used, so can ash. Says the Gemara Velohi, it's not a good proof. Rekvuvis Yerek, who to have a offer. A decayed vegetable, that dust has the din of offer. Afer, however, ash, loy have offer, doesn't have the din of dust, and therefore can't be used as a raya. Before we go further, we just finished learning klal prato klal. I saw a beautiful vort on klal prato klal, said by the Rebbe Heschel from Krakow, who wrote the Sefer Chanukas HaTorah. He says when he was a young boy, the Shatchanim wanted to determine if he was really a Talmud Chacham. So it was decided that he would meet a Shatchan in a hotel who would see if he really is a Talmud Chacham. The Rebbe of Heschel comes to the hotel, and there were no Sfarim in the hotel besides a Siddur. So how are they going to talk and learning? There are no Sfarim. So the Rebbe Heschel said, I'll tell you a Dvar Torah from the Siddur. Every morning we say the Braisa of Rishmal Oimer, Shloish Esher Midas HaTorah Nidreshes Behem. He says, I have three questions on this Braisa. First question is, Rabbi Shmuel Oimer, how could someone give his son a name, Yishmol, such a terrible Rasha? Also, the rule is that if there's a Machloikis, then we have the wording of a Braisa would be Rabbi Shmuel Oimer, Rabbi Kiva Oimer. But if there is no Machloikis in a Braisa, then it should say Omer Rabbi Shmuel. This Braisa, and in fact this is one of the reasons that this Braisa is said every morning, because there is no Machloikis in this Braisa. So shouldn't it say Omer Rabbi Shmuel, not Rabbi Shmuel Oimer? And the third question he asked, which is most relevant to what we're learning today, is that how could one learn a klal pratu klal? Don't we have a rule that ein mugdam mulcha b'tayra? There is no specific order to the words of the Torah, and therefore the klal prat klal, the entire basis of that limud is the order in which the psukim are written. But ein mugdam amulcha b'tayra. So he answered, I'll answer my question. The pasuk says, the Gemara says in Masechta Bava Basra that Yishmal did tshuva before he died. How do we know? Because the pasuk says v'yikfuru oisa Yitzchak v'Yishmal bonav. Yitzchak and Yishmal buried Avram. And the fact that Yishmol allowed Yitzchak to go before him, he gave respect to Yitzchak, the Talmud Chacham, is proof that Yishmol did tshuva. So the question is, how can we bring that proof? Ein mugdam amulcha b'tayra. So just because Yishmol is mentioned after Yitzchak shouldn't be a proof. It must be that the order in a specific pasuk is very exact. So that's what Rebbe Heschel said. Rabbi Shmuel, you know why somebody can be called Rabbi Shmuel? Oimer, the actions of Yishmol prove that we can learn a klal uprat a klal. The action, the proof that we called somebody Yishmol, that Yishmol did tshuva, it wasn't a rasha, is because we can learn a klal uprat a klal. Why can we learn a klal uprat a klal? Because in one pasuk the order is very specific. So we learned in the Mishnah, enough earth has to be put into the earthenware cup, k'day shi'yur up that yur alamayim, that should be visible. Tana rabbanan, shloish tzrichin shiro, there's three things that have to be visible. Offer saita, this offer, veif parah, the ashes of the parah that are mixed together with the spring water, as when matar a person who became tamei meis, roik yivama, and the spit of a yivama. Mishmar Mishmar Aimer, aftam tzipor, the mitzayrus bird that we learned, the bird is slaughtered and it's caught, as we discussed in the previous year, in a kli cheres that has in it mayim chayim, the water, the blood has to be visible. Ask Mefarshim, Ben Yoyada asks, why isn't tzitzis mentioned? The Torah says, "Arisa maysoi," we have to see the tzitzis. So he says two terutzim. One terutz is because since tzitzis is an explicit pasuk, "Uriisa maysoi," that we have to see the tzitzis, so the Braisa doesn't have to teach it to us. It's obvious. Another terutz is that the primary mitzvah by tzitzis is putting on the tzitzis, not seeing the tzitzis, and therefore it's not mentioned. My time of the Rishmal. Why does the Rishmal include the Mitzayra blood? The Ksiv, V'tavolaysa B'dam Hatzipur. V'tanya, B'dam, we would think that we only have to dip it into blood. We have to dip the Eitz Erez, the Shni Talas, into blood. Yoch B'dam V'loy B'mayim, Tam V'loy B'mayim. The Pasuk says that it has to also be dipped into water. Even Mayim, if it said water, Yoch B'mayim V'loy B'dam, only water, not dam. Tam V'loy B'dam. Okay, Tzad, what does that mean? Mayim v'mayim, enough water should be brought, shadam tzipur nikabahen, that the blood will be noticeable in that water. The kama, how much water is that? Revius. V'rabbanan, the Rabbanan who disagree with Rav Shmuel, they hold ahu l'gufei. That pasuk is needed to teach us the basic law. What the Torah is teaching us, apple b'dam u'b'mayim. Dip it, dip the Eitz Erez and the Shnitzolas into a mixture of blood and water. Asks Rabbi Kiva Eger, if there is a halacha that we need to have dam, why don't we have a concern that we're going to use a lot of water, which is apparently the opinion of the Rabbanon, that the water will become bottle, the dam will become bottle in the Mayim? So shouldn't the Rabbanon agree with Rabbi Shmuel? Answers the Brisker off that although the Torah says that we need to use dam tzipur for the Taras and Mitzayrah, the Rabbanan hold, as long as we began with undiluted dam tzipur, it doesn't make a difference that ultimately that dam tzipur is bottled in the water. As long as we began with dam tzipur, the Rabbanan hold that that's enough. Rabbi Shmuel, what Rabbi Shmuel say? Imkein lichtav that he says that we have to have dam that's nicker. Inkein lichtav rachmana v'tal behem. It should be enough that the Torah should say v'tavol behem. B'dam u'b'mayim lamali. What does the Torah have to say b'dam u'b'mayim? L'nicker, to teach us that the blood has to be noticeable. Rabbonim, ikas rachmana v'tal behem. Had the Torah only written v'tavol behem, have a mina ha'iluchudei v'ha'iluchudei. It's enough that we have the blood and water separately. Kost rachmana b'dam u'b'mayim. La'arvim, to teach us that he has to mix the water and the blood together and only then dip the Eitz Erez and the Shnitzolas into it. Rishmo, la'avrin, to teach us that they should be mixed together, krachriniksiv. I have another pasuk that teaches this. Because the pasuk says, v'shachres et tzaybar achas. The pasuk already says that they should be, you should slaughter the bird and then bring it into klicheres with ma'im chayim. So I already know that they're mixed up. V'rachbaran, imahu havamina, I would say, lishchtei samach lamana. Maybe what the Torah means is that we should shech the bird near where the cup of water is, v'nektinu l'veridin, but we should pinch the veridin, pinch the main blood vessels, so that the blood doesn't flow out, and then v'lekabel adam b'mana achrina, and the blood should be caught in a different vessel, kamash malon. That's why we need the pasuk that they should both be in the same vessel. Bar minei Reb Yimei Mirab Zera. If the bird is very large and it overwhelms the water by the mitzayra, or ktana, It's a very small bird. V'netchas b'pnei mayim, and there's more water. Mahu. Amalei, so he said to him, lo yaminaloch, didn't I teach you, lo teipek nafshi l'bar mahechasa, don't go outside of what the halacha says. The Torah said that what bird should be used, tzipa dror shir rabbanon, a dror bird should be used, ein l'chag doyla, when you have a dror bird, you will never have a bird that's so large, shemadechas esamayim, that overwhelms the water, because there isn't so much blood in it. On the other hand, the bird is not that small, ein l'chag tana, shenitchas ufnei amayim. It's interesting to note that the Shaar Mitzvah Balocha says that we learn from these words of Leitepik Nafsha Ba'a Mehilchasa that the Gemara is teaching us that one should always follow the letter of the law and one should not look for Chumris. Leitepik Nafshecha Ba'a Mehilchasa. Tana Rabbanan. Higdam Ofelamayim. If the person in the Saita procedure, instead of putting first the water into the cup, and then the offer, put the offer before the water, puzzle. That's the opinion of Rabbanan. Rav Shimon Machshir. Rav Shimon says it's kosher. My Talmud Rav Shimon. What's the reasoning for Rav Shimon that says that it's kosher? The Ksiv Lochla Taimei Ma'afa Sreifas Achatis. This is referring to the Paraduma. The Tanya on Rav Shimon, the Chi Offer Hu, is offer used? It's not dust that's used. V'le'efahu, it's ashes that are used by the Paraduma. Says Rav Shimon, the Torah used the word offer instead of efer by the Paraduma procedure. Shina akosim v'mashmo, the Torah used a word that really isn't appropriate. The word that should have been used is offer, and the Torah uses the word efer. Lord Nehemen Gzer Shava, to teach us Gzer Shava, Nemekan offer. Regarding the Paraduma, the Torah uses the word offer. V'nemar lahalon offer. And the Torah regarding Saita uses offer. Ma lahalon, just like by the Saita, offer gabamayim, the earth is put on top of the water preferably. Afkan offer gabamayim, so too by the Paraduma, the ash should be put on top of the water. Umakan, however, regarding the Paraduma, as the Gemara will prove, if higdam offer lamayim, if he put the ash before the mayim, it's kosher. Af lahalin, so too by soita, higdam offer lamayim, if he put the offer in first, it's kosher. Ask the Gemara v'hosmanolon, and how do we indeed know that by the efer para, if you put in the efer first, and then the water on top of it, it's kosher? Says the Gemara trei kriya ksivi, because there are two psukim. Ksiv olav, Pus says Olaf Alma Efer Bereisha. It says that the water should be put on the Efer. So that teaches us that ash should be put in first. And then it says Ksiv Mayim Chaim Bekeli. The first we should have the water Alma Mayim Bereisha. Hakeitzad Rotzezed Noisin. Either way is acceptable. And now we learn Xeri Shavu that just like by the Paru, either way is acceptable. So too by the Soita. Rabbanan. Hold that even by Paraduma, if the Efer is put in first, it's not kosher. A Kli Dafka. The pasuk that says that the ash be put in into the Keli, that the water is put in first, is the pasuk that's accurate. Either the other pasuk of Olav. That pasuk teaches us La'arvon, that after the ash is put into the water, la'arvin, they should be mixed together. Ask the Gemara, we have two psukim. Who teaches us to use the psukim in this manner? That the pasuk that says that the water is first, that's the and the other pasuk is coming to teach us la'arvin. Maybe olav dafka, maybe to teach us the word olav, that the ashes should be put in first, and the water put in second. And the keli, what do we learn from our keli? Shetech yusim b'keli, that the water should be put into this keli directly from the spring, not take the water from the spring and then put it into a different vessel. Says the Gemara, ma matzin b'kamaka machshlamala, since we find everywhere in halacha that the water is put in first, so it makes sense to say afkan by mechatos the water, the ashes should be put on top and the water put in first. And therefore we say that the pasuk of El Keli is Dafka, and that's the halacha by Efer, and that's the halacha by Soita. And we don't hold that if you did it in the reverse order, say the Rabbanon, like Rabbi Shmuel holds, it still will be kosher.